Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest State Representative Chris Blazechowski, a Providence Democrat and the Deputy Majority Whip in the House of Representatives. Thank you for joining us.
Ian, thank you very much for having me.
And congratulations to you, Chris. We know you and your wife, Amy, had your second child recently. Congratulations.
Yeah, and let me just say a shout out to the nurses and doctors at Women and Infants. They did a great job.
State lawmakers kicked off a new General Assembly session earlier this week. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello used the occasion to double down on his vow to begin a phase-out of the car tax this year. But it's unclear where the money to pay for this will come from, particularly with the state facing a $110 million deficit for the fiscal year starting July 1st. Representative Blazechowski, Speaker Mattiello told me he hopes that economic growth will provide the money to pay for beginning the phase-out of the car tax. Is that really realistic?
Well, let's first take a step back and recognize that the car tax is an extremely regressive tax. It impacts, in particular, middle class, lower middle class, and poor Rhode Islanders in particular, and especially in the city of Providence, which I represent. I think it's a tax that progressives support eliminating because of its impact, its regressive impact. Secondly, Speaker Mattiello has shown over the years that when he makes a commitment to a particular legislative item, that he finds a way to get it done. In particular, I look at the Social Security tax cut and the pension tax cut, which has happened recently, that I strongly support and I thought was a very good idea he was able to accomplish. And then finally, with Chairman Abney and the Finance Committee, I'm sure they're going to look at the $9 billion, soon to be $9 billion budget, take a look at it and find a way to find the money to provide the first of the 5 years, $40 million to eliminate the car tax.
Well, where do you think, Representative, the slush would be in the budget? What are some places where you think specifically we could cut?
The car tax was on track to be eliminated 10 years ago under the Kacharity administration. And it were not for the economic crisis and the Kacharity administration then backtracked on it, there was a plan in place to eliminate the car tax. So I think it can be done. We'll see what the May revenue numbers look like. And based on those May revenue numbers, we will take a look at how we can find the $40 million to impact for the first year, a five-year
But there's nothing in state government that you think can't be cut? You don't have any ideas in $9 billion where we can squeeze?
Well, we have to look at the revenue, and we haven't had the May revenue conference yet, so we don't know what exactly the revenue looks like, and we don't know what the governor's budget proposal is.
Maureen, Representative Blazechowski is putting his faith in Speaker Mattiello to get this done. Do you think his faith is well-placed?
I do. I mean, I think, first of all, when he makes a commitment like this, I think it's likely that they'll follow through. $40 million can be, as he talks about, we don't have the estimates, and they're expecting a bump up in terms of revenue. Finally, who likes the car tax? The Republicans are against it. The progressives are against it. Regular people hate it. I don't see how anyone else can sort of make a case, particularly the governor. She's a little tentative about it. She's got to run for re-election. Does she want to run as the one that killed the car tax relief? So I think that I think it's going to go. I agree with the representative.
One of the things that's different this year at the General Assembly is a larger group of progressives, particularly in the House of Representatives. Rep. Blazechowski, you've got a profile as a progressive, and you're also connected to Speaker Mattiello's leadership. What difference do you expect the larger cohort of progressives to make in the House this year?
Well, I expect there to be two main priorities for the Progressive Caucus in this upcoming year. The first is to fight back and resist the radical reactionary agenda of the Trump administration. If you take seriously the words he has said over his campaign, some of the violent, irresponsible things he has said about women, about minorities, about immigrants, about the disabled, then we should expect that we need to be ready for a fight, and we will be ready for that fight. Secondly, is to promote an agenda that looks to provide an opportunity for Rhode Islanders that are working families that work and play by the rules and work hard to get ahead. And I think there are some affirmative policy points that the Progressive Caucus will be looking to accomplish to achieve those goals in this legislative session.
Maureen, do you think those goals will be something that we'll see move forward in this year?
You know, one of the things, I find this whole idea of we've got to react to the Trump administration, but of course we don't know what they're doing, a little vague. I mean, I think specifically we're talking about the minimum wage. And it looks like, I'm surprised, that all three leaders are on board. So I think that will go, and I think that's something the progressives support. Other than these symbolic things, I don't think they're going very far. I mean, I don't think the driver's license thing is, you know, is going to have legs this session. So they will, I think they'll get the minimum wage. They can talk symbolically and maybe make some changes on the margin when we know what changes we're going to have to make. But that's not a very firm agenda.
Sure. I can point to four items that Progressive Caucus will be looking very seriously at. The first will be eliminating the car tax, which will provide a relief to our cities and towns, and also for lower middle class and poor families. The second is school construction. I think we have a school construction crisis in this state that we can need to continue to address the best we can. The third is the fight for $15 minimum wage, which is important and we can continue to make steps on. And then finally, earned sick time, which is, in light of the President Trump's attack on our Affordable Care Act, is going to be more important than ever.
I'm wondering about the earned income tax credit. We're below most of the other New England states on that measure, and I wonder what you can do about that.
Sure, I'd put that on the list as well. I think these are the things that people that work hard, play by the rules, that expect to be able to get ahead and have their children have a better life than they have. You know, I have got, and like you mentioned, Ian, and I appreciate that, I have a soon-to-be three-year-old and a newborn, and I think what can I do to make sure that they will have a better life than I've had? And I think most Rhode Islanders, when they think about what they want from their government, they want government to be responsive in a way that provides them with an opportunity, if they play by the rules and work hard, to get ahead and have an opportunity to succeed.
Lastly, there seems to be a little bit of frostiness in the relationship between Speaker Mattiello and Governor Gina Raimondo. The speaker was not at a series of recent job announcements hosted by the governor. And also, the governor spoke during the opening of the state Senate session earlier this week. She was present in the House chamber for the start there, but did not speak. Representative Blazewicz, what's your explanation for what's going on here?
Well, I think we should expect that there's going to be a healthy tension when you have separation of powers. We have a legislature, two branches in the legislature, and we have a governor's office and also a judiciary. So there's going to be a healthy tension. They're not always going to agree. But it's important to recognize that Speaker Mattiello came in working on jobs and the economy as his chief mantra. And the governor has set up her administration to be judged based on those criteria as well. And they have worked together based on the tools provided through the legislature and the legislative budget to attract companies with track records of success to move to downtown Providence in the 195 land. Johnson & Johnson, General Electric, Cambridge Innovation Center, Wexford, Virgin, these are all companies with a track record of success. So although they may disagree from time to time, they have had a similar focus on the jobs and the economy, and I expect them to continue to do so.
Scott, briefly, how about the rep's point that these kind of disagreements are not unheard of in the past, but the work product and the results are good?
Well, a lot of it just has to do with who gets credit for things. I mean, you go back and you look at this idea of cutting taxes for pensions. Well, Nick Mattiello came out for it, and then, of course, Gina Raimondo put a placeholder in her budget so that she could take credit for it. I mean, a lot of this is, I think, just the internecine warfare that we see at the State House.
A quick final word to Maureen.
I agree with the representative. I mean, their relationship has been very productive. There's bound to be some tension, and what you're going to see is a little bit of tension and some trade-offs, but I think they'll work together in the end because the agendas are very similar.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And State Representative Chris Blazewicz, a Providence Democrat.
Thank you for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.